Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Chicks Talking Footy here on Joy 94.9. My name is Fiona Newton. I'm here with Rachel Hopkins. We're two very depressed hawks. And we have Danae Gibson, a potentially very depressed dogger. But we are excited about one thing, and that is that the Pride game is coming up this Woo-hoo. Saturday. And we'll be talking a whole lot about that because we've just had a meeting. And
yes.
We've got lots to discuss.
Yes.
So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you very much.
And later in the show, we're going to be talking to Shiloh Kudas, who is the Victorian AFL Development Manager. We're going to be talking about what's going on in women's footy and all sorts of things.
Lots of things.
And, of course, we're going to preview the Pride game, so stay tuned for that.
You bet.
All righty. Well, you just had round 20
already.
So there's only three more games left of the season.
I can't believe it. Where has the season gone?
Well, there's been 20 games.
Yes. Thanks, Danae.
It's been a very cold winter and a very hot season.
Some of us have felt it's been dragging for a long time.
Yes, sorry about that. But few exciting games. I'm still finding Sunday afternoon football a little bit boring. Too many big teams against bottom teams going on there. But Friday night, Tigers were playing the Pies and they redeemed themselves, I think.
Collingwood's had a very inconsistent season, haven't they?
They beat Geelong and then they lose to the Tigers.
To be fair, I think Pendlebury going off in the fourth really had an impact and the Tigers' backs against the wall and, you know, you can't cage a Tiger.
Oh,
nice.
That's a good motto.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, I think they had to win and they did.
They did.
Yeah, well, the week before they lost, they got 23 points for the whole game. So they
needed to redeem
themselves. They did need to redeem themselves. They acted like they won the grand final, but that's good. Port Adelaide, what happened there? Didn't show up against Sydney at all.
Oh, Port.
Sydney clinical again, but big questions being asked about that list that we thought was much better.
Well, Rachel's been predicting them as a premiership team for the last 3 years, so I think I finally convinced her.
No, actually. I still think they're a great team. I don't know what's happening. I don't understand how they keep getting these scores because I think they have a lot of talent. And I don't understand. And Sydney's a fantastic team. I think we should just give it the Premiership Cup now and all go home and start again for 2017. However,
I've been predicting them for the Premiership favourites.
Yes,
all year.
They're
after
amazing.
Weeks and weeks of not even rating them, I'm going to play back some of our early
podcasts. True.
No. I haven't rated Geelong. Okay. Everybody's been rated Geelong.
Sydney, but I think it was a self-protective mechanism.
That's possible.
I just did not want them to win.
Possibly Port are not doing enough two-way running. Moving on.
Now, a game that Rachel and I would prefer not to mention, but
Let's just
happened.
Skip it then.
Well done to the D's. They played a great game. Well done, Paul Ruse, Max Gawn.
Max Gawn, he's
fantastic
being called
player.
The AFL's best ruckman at the moment. So
and deserved.
Look, I think we haven't been playing well for a few weeks, and I think we've been playing teams that have let us get away with it, and the Demons just did not let us get away.
All respect to the
sloppy
all respect
kicking
to them, they were great.
Yep.
And so. I like that the big bank that put out the ad with the little future stars of the AFL
Max
had
Gawn.
A Max Gawn with an 8-year-old with a beard.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
fantastic. Garrett
and a bald little 7-year-old being Gary Ablett.
I think Mitchell's very lucky to get away with his quote-unquote slap.
Yeah.
Rioli thought it was ridiculous and Sicily deserved at least a week, but I think Mitchell was a very lucky boy.
But that we had that many reports from that game shows how frustrated we were, I think.
And I am in a room with two hawks. I do not want to talk about match review panel with you two at any point ever because I like you women and let's keep it friendly.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I feel about some of our rainbow swannies. I love them. Jeez.
Yeah, there's ones.
Suns almost beat the Giants, I thought. It was only the Giants snuck a couple of late goals in and just made it, which I was surprised by that. I thought it would have been a walkover.
Yeah,
it was a pretty even game right from the start. I listened closely to that one. And the Giants showed what a maturing list they have and that they kicked on. A bit like Melbourne, you know, when it was really close between Melbourne and Hawthorn in the last quarter, you think, oh, well, here go the Hawks again, but it didn't happen.
Yep.
The Giants kicked on as they should.
Yes. Now, Bulldogs beat North despite their many injuries. I thought, I have to admit, I thought North would win that because of the injuries of the Bulldogs, but I suppose North are quite injured themselves.
Well, they're going to have a win this round, aren't they? Oh, so that's good.
The pessimist, the Hawthorn pessimist. Mm. The fact is, Hawthorn are still on top of the ladder by one game.
No Stratton. No Stratton. Did I mention that? No Stratton.
Only one player. Anyway, Crows beat Lions by 138 points. I think that's a record for the Crows.
Yeah. What's going to happen with Brisbane? And this is it's a huge issue. And Brisbane came out and they're talking about needing assistance, salary capping, so forth. I mean, something's going to happen. Do we need two divisions? Is it these divides during the season are just getting ridiculous, where there are 138 points. Wins between...
Well, it is. I'm finding some games really boring to watch at this part of the season. You've got top teams like Sydney just winning by 100 points every game. And
don't forget there are really good games every round too, and that there are 18 teams in a competition, so this is going to happen. I'd like 17 rounds of a regular home and away season and then finals. I think that would help.
Do we need two divisions? Do we need salary cap? Do we need more salary cap relief non-expansion clubs?
The top four teams are playing bottom teams at the moment. And they're just not interesting games to watch. You know, people are just getting annoyed.
I understand that, but we have 168 games a year. So
yeah, but I'm just saying the last part of the season, it seems to be really tilted, and I think that's the way they manage the fixture actually. But it doesn't make for good Sunday football. Saints thrashed the Blues, holding on to the possibility they could play finals.
Yeah,
well done.
Need North to lose every game. And they would have to win every game because their percentage is low. But it is still a possibility. North are playing three hard games.
I think Carlton are a good team too. But I think St Kilda, like we discussed a few weeks ago, I think they're a great team. I think they've got a really good future.
Yes, indeed. I'd be excited to see them next year.
Mm.
Cats thrash Essendon, going with my theory of top teams playing bottom teams on Sunday afternoons. And West Coast thrash the Dockers. What's the derby called? It's the...
Derby. Yeah. Yeah, well, we call it
It's just called the Derby?
Well, it's the Western Derby.
Western Derby.
Yeah, in WA we call it.
So Josh Kennedy kicked...
Seven goals. 42 points. So
it looks like he'll win the Coleman, actually, because he had a buddy by 6 goals.
Any thoughts on the game from our Docker?
We haven't had a backline for quite some time. Big impact.
Yep.
Yeah. So...
there's nothing else to add.
And there's not much to add to that. Exactly. So the ladder's looking interesting. So Hawks are on top by a game, but if we lose one game, our percentage is so poor that we will finish fifth.
It's amazing, isn't
right,
it?
Rightfully deserved.
That's where the intrigue is.
Well, the intrigue's in the top four and top eight to some extent.
I'd like to suggest we're all very greedy and we want brilliant football every game all the time.
Well, I just want potentially more equality in the games. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Top four teams have an easy run home. So you'd say that Sydney, Geelong and the Crows are looking pretty set for top four and possibly Geelong if we drop to fifth. So, but we're excited this weekend because the Pride game is coming up between the Saints and Sydney. I think it's actually going to be an interesting game in itself. St Kilda are playing for finals chances and Sydney are playing for the top of the ladder. So I think that way it's going to be a great game. But it's also an exciting time because it's the first ever football code to have a Pride game. And there's going to be rainbow 50-metre lines and rainbow goal flags and rainbow football. And the St Kilda Football Club are going to be wearing the socks, the rainbow socks. And we're hosting the broadcast at the Pride game at Etihad Stadium. So we're going to be broadcasting from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Go us.
I personally just think this is I'm so proud that we can be part of this first ever broadcast. And we're going to be interviewing all sorts of people. Who are we going to be interviewing? Mark Evans from the AFL operations.
Matt Finnis, the CEO of St Kilda. We will talk to a couple of players before the game. Yep, St Kilda. A couple of Saints.
Also
some home game.
Some academics discussing football diversity.
The out of the field study that was done on homophobia in sport.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have some double passes to the AFL Pride game to give away. I hope you've got your finger on the iPhone trigger because there's two seats. Gates open at 6 p.m. for a 7:25 start. There's also going to be entertainment pre-game by Kinky Boots. We're going to be talking to them after that performance as well. So this is the inaugural Pride game this Saturday at Etihad. If you would like to win a double pass to the ground at the first ever Pride game, You can text us in 0427 Joy 949 or 0427 569 949. Tell us who you barrack for and why, if you like, why the Pride Game's important, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We've got four double passes to give away during the show. We'd love to hear from you. So text in and you'll be at the game with us.
Yes.
Yes.
And lots of other GLBTI AFL supporters.
Yeah, well, look, the Rainbow Swans are coming down from Sydney, a big contingent of them, I think a few dozen. So, and St Kilda Pride will be there. And I know that the tickets are selling out fast. So.
And lots of people are going and hanging out in groups and going to take, you know, lots of colour and movement. And there is entertainment before the game. There is so much going on.
Yeah, and we'll all be rainbowed out by the end of the day. And that's thanks to St Kilda Football Club. So thank you, St Kilda, for giving us all these double passes to the game.
You've kicked a goal on Chicks Talking Footy with Fiona and Danae.
Oh boy, we're excited. And Rachel's in the studio from the interchange bench. We've got a very strong interchange bench, which makes us a great team.
We're only as strong as the depth in our list.
<That's right>. So, yeah, Rachel Hopkins, two very sore-looking Hawks in the studio tonight. But Danae, we've got a very special guest. In the studio.
We do. In her playing days, Charlotte Curtis was an inside midfielder, and now she is the female development manager at AFL Victoria. Charlotte is responsible for developing and managing the evolution of female participation within Australian football, working in all areas of the game, including playing, coaching, umpiring, administration, volunteering and fan development. That's a lot of responsibility, but I suspect there are little pockets of the game that Charlotte loves best. So we're going to fire as many questions and listen to as many answers as we can in the next few minutes. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
Thanks very much for having me along tonight.
We could talk to you for hours, but I'd really like to know if you could share some stuff about Minus 18 and your involvement with Minus 18, which many of us know about.
Yeah, look, it's been, I mean, obviously been a massive 10 years for my, you know, for me at AFL Victoria. And one of the really lovely things that sort of come about from having more women being a part of AFL Victoria, particularly the VWFL moving into AFL Victoria, is, you know, obviously we have a higher proportion of same-sex attracted women that are playing within women's football. And that's then started other conversations around how do we better support same-sex attracted and gender diverse communities and within football. And anyway, chance meeting between myself and a young person from Minus 18 in Rory, and we got chatting and thought about running a program that would provide a space, a safe and supportive and inclusive space for young trans kids and also same-sex attracted young people as well. So we're running sort of over the next 3 weeks. So we've had a training session at the North Melbourne Footy Club already.
Great.
And they've been really supportive in providing a training venue for those young people. But a couple of training sessions, we're taking them to the Pride game this weekend. So St Kilda threw in 50 tickets straight away within
Brilliant.
3 minutes of me making the phone call. So safety in numbers. Big group of young people, and from what I've heard, they're very excited about going to an AFL game together as one of their events.
Right.
And it's probably the first time they've done that. And then the whole program will culminate with them playing a game at Etihad Stadium halftime the week after the Pride game. So the Collingwood Gold Coast game, look out for the Minus 18 group. They'll be playing one of the AFL 9's grid games. And, you know, as part of this program, one of the critical things that they've done for us is actually provide us with staff training and PD within AFL Victoria about how to work with young, same-sex attracted and gender-diverse young people, what language do we use,
Correct.
You know, being aware of discrimination and how you might be coming across when you are working with our community. So it's been a wonderful program so far.
AFL Victoria, you've been there a while. Is there a difference between the dropout ages of young girls and women playing football that you know of in that time? Has it changed?
Look, there's been massive evolution. You know, I've been at AFL, you know, 10 years, been in the game 20 years now, and look, I feel like the gap between the generations is getting closer and closer. I mean,
Right.
a generation in female football now is like 6 months. The game changes so much. So there's been massive changes. But we do have, you know, consistent with the boys, the transition points are the areas where girls drop off, so juniors to seniors. So finishing up under 18s, moving into adulthood. There's so much going on in that sort of emerging adulthood stage between sort of 18 and 21, you know, that you want me to then commit to training twice a week when I'm trying to drive, get a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and go to uni and go, oh my, and I have to feed myself and mum doesn't cook for me anymore and I have to wash my own clothes and oh my God, I've got to live as an adult. And you want me to go to training twice a week and play on the weekend with consistency.
And be told what to do by a coach and have that sort of direction and discipline can be challenging sometimes.
Yeah, it's certainly
But that would be true for boys as well as girls at that age.
Correct. I think that emerging adulthood space is really challenging for boys and girls. So we get a similar drop-off for boys as well. But the best thing is, you know, I record our data every year, and the best thing is our transition data this year. We've got the best transition data from under-18 footy to senior footy than we've ever had in female football, which is so exciting. And one of the best things is the return of girls that we have lost coming back to the game at a senior level when they're senior, when the junior club's got a senior team, or, you know, they've just been reinvigorated by what is coming, that they're coming back to the game. So there's never been a better time to be a female in the game or be young enough and have a body that's healthy enough to play the game, because it's just such an exciting time to be involved.
And what's your involvement in the National Women's League? Have you connected to that?
No, look, obviously I'm based at AFL Vic, so we have to be very conflict of interest free. But certainly, look, I provide support to any of the clubs that want to know about the emerging talent, because part of my role has been to develop, you know, a wave of young high performance athletes through our academy system and our high performance programs. So my role really has been around growing enough community grassroots teams, and in my time it's been about 300 teams that we've grown at community level, and then on top of that growing building a high performance pathway that that's grown the demand for the AFL to set this national women's competition up.
I actually read an interview that you did recently, and you did a beautiful quote. I don't want to embarrass you, but this really struck me as important. This is the first space in their whole life, talk about girls, that they've been given permission to see their body as a tool of strength. I think that's a really exciting quote. Do you think that the one of the things I've also read was your academies for girls that you've started? Can you expand a bit more on what those present to young girls coming from grassroots football?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Look, when I first came into the role, there was no high performance opportunities for girls under the age of 18. I was very fortunate. I got to play state football for a number of years, and that was an aspiration for me, and it sort of was something that helped me pursue my potential and learn about what I could be as an athlete. And when I first came into AFL Vic, there was none of that. We were just sort of establishing community grassroots comps for teenage girls. And so I thought one of the best ways that I could try and keep, you know, high-performance basketballers or cricketers or netballers and keep them in the sport was to provide them with aspiration and inspiration. So for me, it was really important to set up an academy that we could, you know, challenge our first-choice athletes because they're also playing amongst girls in their clubs with girls that have never played before. So there's a massive diversity in skill, ability and experience level. So it was about just an extra carrot for the girls. We've grown that rapidly. It's really the academy program's been all about on and off-field development. The holistic athlete. I'm very aware that, you know, these girls probably aren't going to earn a living from their footy for a long time. So I want to make sure that during their time in footy with us, that their time in footy with us positions them in a way that facilitates skills that they will be able to use in the rest of their lives and develop their whole selves. My background's in health promotion, education, psychology. So for me, that, you know, developing the holistic athlete's been a really crucial part of the academy program. So we'll have about 12 academies this year for adolescent girls, about 450 teenage girls in Victoria that will participate in that.
And teenage, 12 to 16?
13 to 18. Wow. Well, 14 to 18 is the age it will be this year.
They're brilliant numbers. Well done.
Thank you. It's really exciting. And these girls are just tremendous and wonderful. And the sense of agency they feel within their bodies, but within themselves as well, where we value them for who they are. And really, you know, for me, empowerment, female, using sport to empower, you know, girls and women is really critical. So helping them, you know, and we're very process focused, helping them to, you know, work out, you know, processes that are good for them that will then translate into the rest of their lives, I think is a really empowering thing for them that they can then use to achieve in all elements of their lives.
So if I had a 14-year-old daughter that wanted to get involved. What's the best way, the pathway into football and development that way?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, obviously if you're across your local league and you know where your local league's positioned or your local club, certainly I'd be making a few phone calls to a few of the local clubs, or you give me a call at AFL Victoria and I'll point you in the right direction. But certainly contact your local league. But I think also do your homework. You know, not every club has a female team, and many clubs do. We have 350 female teams here in Victoria. We've gone an extra 100 teams just this year alone.
Wow.
And to put that into context, the growth over 8 years, we had 108 teams that we grew. The next 2 years we grew 110, and then this year in 1 year we grew 100 teams. So we've gone 8 into 2 into 1 year of growth. That's how much demand there is. So many female teams. But it is likely there's a female team near you, but call them up, do your homework, ask your questions like you would with anyone, interview them, and then go down and go with the one that feels good for you, so all feels good for your daughter or your family.
Yeah, great, fantastic. And now you're going to be at the Pride game on Saturday.
Yes, correct.
So, what's your journey been like as a gay woman playing football, and working at the AFL?
Yeah, look, footy's obviously been a really great place for me to be around other women, where it's not just about your sexuality. It doesn't matter who you're attracted to, but in terms of how you present your gender, I mean, you can be ultra feminine but same sex attracted, mm-hmm. or the reverse. And I think footy provides a real safe space for all of us to do that. And look, sort of being the only gay in the village at AFL Victoria for a long, long time, it's I think things like the Pride game, even for me, have been very freeing for me. And it's facilitated a space and permission for me to have dialogue or bring dialogue in the office and have conversations with my bosses about my journey as, being the only gay in the village and how actually isolating that is and how lonely it can be at times. And, whilst you feel like you wouldn't be because you're in female footy, but within a head office or within the office, it's relatively a straight organisation, in terms of our employment. So the Pride game has been, personally, something that's been really lovely for me, because it's made me feel a bit more welcomed and helped me to feel a bit more visible.
So you're with AFL Victoria, but the AFL's message constantly has been everyone is welcome at the footy. So that includes us. I think Absolutely. We all feel welcome from this game.
Yes, and... last question, very important one. Who do you think is going to win the grand final?
Oh, Jesus.
Which grand final?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, look, Darabin's travelling pretty well, but some children in Melbourne Uni are right at their heels. But
beautiful.
In the women's league, but in the women's VFL. But certainly, look, it's been an intriguing season. I would have loved to have seen North Melbourne go all the way. I think they're going to struggle with the injuries they've had. And being a Richmond supporter, I always say we're one step closer to an AFL premiership, but not ours at the moment. But look, I've got gut feelings on Geelong, actually.
They
always come good at the right time of the year.
And the women's league?
Yeah, the national women's league?
No, sorry. The Victorian.
I think it's a very close race. I think Melbourne Uni and have got a wonderful list. St Kilda could be in there,
yeah,
but
Melbourne Uni.
You can't. I mean, Darabin have got the track record. They've got a very good list, but it's going to be anyone's game between those three, I think.
So, Shiloh Curtis, Female Development Manager, AFL Victoria. Thank you for chatting with the Chicks.
We'll see you on Saturday at the Pride game.
See you there.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
With Danae, Fiona and Rachel, and we have been giving away tickets to the Pride game at Etihad Stadium this Saturday night between St Kilda and Sydney. And Daryl, whose team is Carlton, you have won a double pass.
Nice. Well done.
Congratulations, Daryl.
And we've got Sally from Northcote.
Congratulations,
another
Sally.
Another Tigers supporter.
Brilliant.
Who will be at the Pride game with us. But we've got two more double passes to give away during the show.
Terrific.
And you have 4 minutes to text in and you will get the double pass too, as long as you're a member.
It's going to be an amazing game.
And give us your membership number.
It's a historic event.
0427 Joy 949.
0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au.
Thank you.
So, Danae, who are we going to be talking to on Saturday night?
Well, our good friends Jason Ball and Jill Stark will come and talk to us. So, Jill being a great journalist and great ally, and Jason Ball, of course, being the first really out Aussie rules player. The Saints Pride and Rainbow Swans will be there. The Kinky Boots, and we'll have some performers from the Kinky Boots and others.
We'll have Matt Finnis, the CEO of St Kilda. He's going to be chatting to us. Francis Leach.
Yes.
Sports reporter. And we will have Jason Twazen McShane from the Purple Bombers. We're going to be talking to a whole lot of people.
VFL umpires.
Umpires. We're going to be talking to a couple of doctors from Victoria University who were part of the Out of Bounds,
Some academics.
Not
talking.
So good on details, is
some
my
smart
brain.
Smart people doing smart things.
Smart people doing smart things that tell us interesting things about homophobia in sports. So lots of people. We're literally going to be talking to about 25, 30 people over the four-hour broadcast. We will occasionally comment on the game, but we'll...
I've one eye on the game the whole time.
One eye on the game. I'm glad the Hawks aren't playing. I'd be terrible.
Well, we've got an interchange bench, so we'll get to watch parts of the game, and you can listen all night on Joy 94.9.
That's right. So we're very excited and very proud to be part of the initial broadcast with the first Pride game, certainly in the AFL, and I've been told there was a water polo Pride game, so it's not the first ever Pride game, but certainly within any football code over the world, it is the first Pride game. So,
and good on the AFL, St Kilda and the Sydney Swans for putting their weight and support behind it. And please come along if you can. You've got more opportunities to win double passes across the station across the week, and tune in from 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
But we'll see Daryl and Sally there at the Pride game.
Say hi.
Chicks Talking Footy fans. Now, unfortunately, the Chicks Talking Footy show has come to an end. We're going to hand over to the boys from Hide and Seek, who'll be talking lots about sexuality. We'll see you next week on Chicks Talking Footy and at the Pride game.
Footy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.